Hello, everyone. This is Jasmine C. Gordon, and welcome to MAB Academics. Today, we have a very special guest,
Professor Robert F. Bond.
Hello, Miss Gordon. How are you?
I'm good. So let's start the interview off right. Tell us the meat and gravy of Professor Bond.
Personally, I am married to a saint of a woman because she puts up with me. And a long time ago, unfortunately, it was decided that we could not have family. So I remain my wife's only child. And I think she will be the first to say that she has her hands full. I really love when one of my bosses said that you have to use life as a meeting, like you go to, and you have to go into every meeting ready, because your job is to be carried out on your shield. And by that, he meant that you have to get the most out of life. I live by carpe diem, seize the day, seize the moment. So from a personal standpoint, yeah, I try to squeeze in every second of every day to do something constructive, informative, fun. And I'm in the process of writing 1, 2, 3, 4 books right now. Now, I'm trying to impress you, Jasmine, by saying that I have written 4 titles and 4 chapters. But I'd like to share the titles with you. One book is called Sleep is Greatly Overrated. And I'm mostly Italian, German Italian. And my dad used to say, Bond men don't get tired. And I really don't need much sleep. And I miss coming into the city as much as I did in the past, because I would always snooze about 30 minutes on the train. That was enough for me. Maybe 2-3 hours afterwards. And I think that sleep is greatly overrated really is a metaphor for manage your time well. Manage your time well. By all means, make sure you have a life and make sure you have work, play and work. Sleep is there. Jim Cramer, the author, once said that good is the enemy of great. And if you want to, and I'm going to be unfortunately negative now, if you want to settle for being good, and that's okay. Like Seinfeld said, not there's anything wrong with that. That's fine. But then don't blame anyone but yourself that you didn't take a chance at being great. Everyone tells you, well, what are the odds you're going to be great? And you have to say you never met me. And you say, well, I come from a wealthy family. But I say, no. Odds are 50-50. What are the chances of being great? That could be 1 in 1,000,000, whatever. Odds are 50-50. My other books are called, there's always the 722, a book about self-help. The importance of managing your time well. I see these guys running for the train. They're running, woefully out of shape, big bellies. They get to the door in the suburbs and the door closes. Well, they still stopped off to get like a frappuccino and a giant jelly donut. Everything falls on the floor. The coffee's all over his clothes. He's wasted a whole day. He's not productive. And I want to tell him, just look at the board. Either manage your time better or look for plan B. Look for the 722. There's always another train coming. One, my dad always says, and I live by this motto, certainly. First you say yes, then you figure out how to do it. Is that a great title? First you say yes, then you figure out how to do it.
I like
that. Very so. I think Dean Gibson is the best. I'm not saying this is a podcast. I say it when the camera's on and off. I say it to him. I think he's the best because similar to the way Bloomberg took over the city after 9/11, he treated it as a business. Dean Gibson took over our school, and all of a sudden we had something called COVID. And I think what he's done has been remarkable. I've never been more informed with what's going on. I'm here because of the students. I'm not here because to make friends. I have enough friends. But at Mercy, that's special. I have family here beyond friends. But I'm really here because of the students. And I like to relate to them. And I'm so proud when I see students of mine go on to things they want to do because they're publicizing it.
Let me hear a little bit about your educational background. Where did you go to school? What made you a marketing genius?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Well, I have to really emphasize to each and every person that's listening to this, you need to get a mentor. You need to get mentors. You need to get someone right after your mom, your dad, your family, because those are your best mentors. But you need to have somebody in the industry to give you advice you could turn to. You could say things to them. I try to do every class to be a mentor, but I don't know how many mentors I've been because of my schedule. So I just try to be mentors to almost everybody. But you need to have a mentor. And I had a mentor when I went to Manhattan College undergraduate. And that gentleman I owe everything to, his name is Professor Alfred Mandelay, because he got me involved in teaching. And he saw how much I love to teach and how much I love marketing. He told me at that point, look, you're going to need a master's. So I said, yikes. So when I graduated from Manhattan College, I set out a plan. And I bounced off my mentor. And he said, this is a great idea. And I said, let me go into sales. Because if you want to get your master's paid for, go into consumer sales. Even now, in 2022, I tell my students, if you don't know what you're doing yet, look into consumer sales. Because you go into brand management, product management, promotion. If you have sales in your background, you could go into a lot of different fields in marketing. So I applied for a bunch of schools. And I liked St. John's program. It took about 18 months, a year and a half, when most people go for their master's over 5 years and whatever. And so I said, okay, now I need a job. So that way I can, either days I have to teach, I can zoom over there and then go back and I have to go over the bridge. So I got the job, and the job was with Philip Morris, just by answering an ad, my pre-computer days, showing my age, and, you know, headhunter or whatever. And it was consumer sales. The salary was meds, so-so. Benefits were outstanding, and I really have to emphasize, whomever's listening to this, please, 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 I beg my 100 students this year, please listen to me once. Take whatever you can afford to live on. Live with your parents. Why move out? Toss some money to the family and live with your parents, but go for the benefits. Or maybe do something entrepreneurial while you're young and get equity. But please don't think that your first job's going to be your last job. Anyway, I got two masters, one in management and one in marketing. And I loved it. And I was going into product management. And they decided, no, you're better off in sales. You have a way of talking. People like you, this and that. You're going to be our next sales manager, blah, blah, blah. And I did something very, very poorly. I quit without a job. Please, I recommend everyone, don't be a knucklehead that I was. This is back in the 1980s. I quit without a job. And knock on wood, two masters, a very understanding family, and Philip Morris on the resume did help out. I want to specify the first thing right now. My love of marketing really stems from the fact that marketing is a process of creating the perception that you can't live without a product. I made that up. I live and die by that. I'm a decision maker. I'm an event planner. I'm a research geek. I'm a salesperson. I'm a marketing person. Basically, I'm an educator. That's why I've died and gone to heaven, because if you love doing what you do, as Mark Twain once said, you never work a day in your life. And now I really want to emphasize, around my neck, there's an albatross. An albatross is like a heavy weight. And we won't go into it too much. I very seldom bring this up. But while I was there, I helped to create something called America's first healthy cigarette. And years later, when we took over the Miller Brewing Company, before I left, we helped create something called Light Beer, L-I-T-E. I will say another phrase I can leave you with, same dog, different fleas. What we did was rely on research. And marketing is all about how well you can understand the research, departmentalize it, conceptualize it, and then turn it into something that you can sell with. That's what research is all about. And all our research showed that back then, people loved to smoke. But people wanted to smoke more. So what's going to happen with these podcasts is you're going to get a lot of people wanting to do it, because the great questions Jasmine asks, the transcripts you're going to do afterwards, anything Professor Rogers touches, turns to gold as far as I'm concerned. So it's going to be market segmentation. We're going to want more. And it's called benefit segmentation. You play to the audience. What I did before I left Philip Morris is that I hung around, knock on wood, long enough for Philip Morris to take over the Miller Brewing Company. And we had a beer there called Miller High Life, the champagne bottled beer. Make a long story short, I looked at that and said, oh my good Lord, same dog, different fleas. Merit cigarettes, America's first healthy cigarette. Low tar, less nicotine. Fast forward a few years. Miller Lite beer. Less filling, tastes great. Same dog, different fleas. And as Jasmine's heard in my class, what is the similarity? Who did I help create? We helped create light beer and Merit cigarettes for. I love when people say, well, people are trying to lose weight, people that are worried about their health. Well, if you worry about their health, stop drinking and stop smoking. You know, go healthy. No, we wanted you to drink more. We wanted you to smoke more. Because we're telling you that, hey, look, it's less tar, less low tar, less nicotine, what have you. Obviously, I don't really go into this that often in class, other than to say, what you're going to be doing in marketing is to determine what is the process of creating a perception. You can't live without a product. Well, when I got my two masters, it all ended. And honestly, truthfully, I just had one of those come to Jesus moments, so to speak, and said, I can't continue doing this. When you see light beer, L-I-T-E, next to the E, look for the little circle with the R. That's my claim to fame. That's a registered trademark, and we took a lifetime trademark. And my last campaign I worked on, I said, light beer. The campaign was, there's plenty of light beers, but there's only one light, L-I-T-E. We got to believe the research, and we believe the research was that we had a product. We were going to create a genre, a niche or niche. We were going to have people feel good about drinking and not getting filled up and not putting on weight and still drink. And to this day, there's only one light beer. The late John Madden said, his greatness is measured in his continuity. And that's what I say to everybody that's listening. We all could be famous for 15 minutes, like Andy Warhol said, the painter. We can all have that one moment under the sun, but our greatness is measured in our consistency, our continuity. And he went on 13 years into the Hall of Fame. So I got to a certain point and I just had, you know, I just said, no, I can't. It was just too much. So I quit. And I strongly encourage everyone not to do that again. I got lucky when I met my wife. I got lucky the first time with the school. I got lucky this. I guess maybe that's the next book, right? I got lucky. And I just answered right place at the right time and answered an ad for this new magazine starting called People Magazine. And I beat out a lot of people. And I remember when they offered it to me, they told me they wanted to give it me a chance. And the magazine was just starting. And they said, three reasons why. The first reason is your education. And they were very impressed that I was coming with two masters to go work for a gossip magazine, they called it. And number two, your potential. I said, fantastic. Kid, it was a long time ago. Kid, potential means you ain't done it yet. And I sat there saying, I wonder if I'm getting this job or not. And I said, what's the third reason, sir? And the third reason, they said, your experience. And I said, okay. And they said, you have a nice cushy job waiting for you if you stayed in sales. You help bring light beer and Merit cigarettes to the marketplace. You could work in any other packaged goods company, CBG, in the world, but you want to come work for this gossip magazine. And at an interview, I said to the person, why are you calling it a gossip magazine? I look at the National Enquirer, I look at the Star, and I look at People Magazine, and I see low life, money. And he had no idea what I meant. And when they offered me the job and I took it, as the director, the first thing I did was I said, every time we use the word gossip, we put a dollar in our pour jar, P-O-U-R. We used to call the kitty that you put all the money in there in case you want to have some milkshakes, you want to pour a milkshake, like that. And every time you use the word gossip, you put a dollar in that jar. And I said, we're never going to grow if we keep on referring to something in a negative sense. And they said, what do you want to call it? And this one I put right up there with the light beer commercial. I said, we're going to call it personality journalism. Because you know that newfangled company out there in Seattle called Starbucks? They're never going to advertise in something that's called the National Enquirer and the Star, but they will advertise it here because we're going to be the magazine of the baby boomers, and that's what we turned out to be. I was there for a number of years. I helped create HBO. We used to shoot the HBO shows right there in 1271 6th Avenue, where the Time Life building used to be. We helped reposition Sports Illustrated. We did a number of great things there. We were on the cutting edge of the information highway. I'm showing my age. You know, we took advantage of the internet and online reading, and we really set the bar high. I got downsized. It was terrible. Warner Brothers took over, a lot of crying and everything. Pick yourself up. Landed with another family, and the family was called the Forbes family. So Malcolm hired me because he never thought he would hire somebody away from People magazine to work for his magazine. And I was honest with him. I said, Malcolm, when I started there 10 years ago, it wasn't People magazine. It was a gossip magazine. And he says, I know. We want you to help turn us around too. We ended up really selling the product, selling the assets. After that, I made a move to a company called Prime Media and got involved with online everything and learning experience. Sometimes you take a step back or two to take a giant leap forward. And that's what I did a lot in my career. Everything was calculated. Not everything turned out well immediately, but you gotta be like John Madden said, consistency. Yeah, I worked there for a number of years, and I was at a bar, a sales meeting, a bar one time, getting a milkshake at the bar. And all of a sudden I looked up and I said, why is O.J. Simpson in cuffs? What happened to me specifically is I got taken out of a corporate job and thrown into something called Soap Opera Digest. Because Soap Opera Digest ran more money, created more money than any other of the properties there. And all of a sudden, all the soap operas stopped. And soap opera was everything back then. Soap opera was the internet. It was Apple, Amazon, Google, everything all rolled into one. And the internet. That's how powerful soap operas were back then. And all of a sudden, every soap opera, 24/7, it was off. You know what was on? The O.J. Simpson trial. 24/7, made a star and Geraldo Rivera. And they put together a dream team, they called it, and I was the head of it. And they said, keep us afloat until the trial is over. Everyone that's listening to this, you're going to be in a position where you have to understand that your ability as a marketer, as a person, as a son, daughter, to succeed is based on how well you hit the curve. I survived 9/11. I was in a cab going down there when it happened. That's a different story. And I can't believe we all have to go through what we've gone through since March of 2020. But there can't be too many more curves out there. And certainly nothing that we can't handle after surviving with COVID. Well, this was my moment. I had to help market a product that didn't exist. And what you have to do, and I'm not going to go into it now, but you have to find ways of increasing, augmenting the incremental revenue. And by that, I mean, you really have to find different ways to help market your product. And that was easy after I talked that to myself and to my staff. I said, we just have to remind people how much they love soaps. The television's not on, but the stars are still around. When the trial was over, they left me in the soaps. And that was terrible. And I managed to go back to my roots. I do love finance. I do love making money. And I did see that Kiplinger's was looking for someone. So same dog, different fleas, right? So I would Forbes, Kiplinger's, helped Austin and Knight turn his magazine around, really took advantage of online. See, everything's synergistic. All my experience with learning online, that came in. Your resume is your advertisement. Don't forget. Your resume should show accomplishments, not tell a story. Together, resume, cover page, yourself, networking, all that gets you. What I always say, getting a job is not the hard part. Getting the interview is the hard part. Once you convince them for an interview, you're a master of your own domain there. Might not happen immediately, but like I said, get the interview and then everything else will fall into place. I loved Kiplinger's a lot and had to make another decision when they wanted to transfer me out to D.C. and then feel like giving up New York, the roots and everything, the family. Family's very important to me. And looked around again and eventually went into an international company called Metro International. Wanted to try something different. Now, all of a sudden, I'm adding international to my flavor. Have a resume, have a flexible plan, but have a goal. The bottom line is you are in control of the timing. don't set forth and say, I must get a job in 2 months, a month and a half, graduation, or I'll die. I've done that, that you don't die. It's silly to say because you can have, you're not looking for a job anyway. You're looking for a start of a career as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so Metro was great international. And again, it was my decision. They wanted to switch me out internationally. I didn't feel like doing that. And then eventually went to my last full-time corporate when I started to work with one of my friends. And I said, oh my God, consultancy seems like a really good avenue to take. And I started to look at it differently. And I started to say, if you have a lot of experience, consultancy, deciding market, being a marketing consultant, is a very good venue because you can help the people you want to help. The money's always going to be there. Marketing is all about helping the people you want to help to buy the product to make the money. That's it. And instead, I was offered a job at Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And my dad died of that horrible disease a long time ago. And we helped put together this big campaign for them. And when I was leaving, I said to the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, you know what the problem is? You're not treating leukemia as a brand. Everything you do in marketing is a brand. If I were to ask you, what is a pink ribbon, you would know what it is. If I ask you, Lance Armstrong, you know what it is. Almost every charity, you know the brand. But if I told you uppercase L, uppercase L, uppercase S, would you know that LLS kills more people than every other cancer type combined? If you're going to specify the different types, skin cancer, et cetera, leukemia kills more than everyone combined. But no one talks about it. It's just one big pie, and we just only have so many slices we can delve out. So I don't understand why we can't be one of those slices. For every check, I don't want to cheat anyone. You know, drink cheaper milkshakes, go out less, stay home more. But take that money and put it towards blood cancer research. So hopefully someday in the future I can hear, oh my God, hey, look, Dad, if you're around 50 years later, you would still be here, that type of deal. So they were so impressed with what I said. They said, could you do that? I said, could I do what? I said, yeah, sure. You need a spokesperson. You need a person so somebody can relate to it. So they gave me the job if I wanted to take it. Before I said yes, never ask a question in marketing, people, that you already don't know what the answer is going to be. I'm not saying you could do that every time. And I'm not saying you're going to be right every time. But more times than not, when I ask a question, I know what the answer is. I'm open-minded. Oh, so anyway, so I said to them, let me just check one thing. And I went back. Okay. Networking is key. And when she said that to me, and I said, well, I really wasn't pitching a job. I was just telling her I like to talk. And if she said that, I can't say no. See the way I'm trying to tie up everything together? I can't say no. And I said, okay, let me just think about this. I'll get back to you. And when I got home, I called my friends from HBO. And even if the people aren't there, they know of it. As long as you're not BSing. If I said I worked for CNN instead of HBO, they're going to know I only work for HBO, not CNN. I keep on saying I'm not creative. I'm in marketing. I surround myself with creative people, and I take credit for everything you do. I've just been so far blessed knowing a lot of creative people. You know, there's one thing, a constant in life, that I did throughout all my career was to teach. I started with some courses at Manhattan College because I needed experience. And the chairperson there was my mentor. So he snuck me in for a couple of courses so I could get some experience. From there, I went to NYU over 2 decades teaching at NYU. And when I started to get tired of people thinking NYU was the only thing they needed to have on their resume to get ahead in life, and a lot of that might have been suggested by people there. I started to look around, best move I ever made. And I started to teach at places that I wanted to teach. And I want to leave you one last phrase. I teach because I want to, not because I have to. We have a very good life. You never hear me complain. I think you teach to make a difference. You don't teach to make a salary. And I wish I had more time to go to about 20 years of my life to go for my doctorate. I would kill to be Dr. Robert Bond. And one of the things I realized was I do like consulting too. You kind of fall into things. Just keep your eyes open, be open to everything. And right now I started my own company, and my own company called Creative Consulting Inc. And I just added on Pepsi as my 14th client just by posting on LinkedIn. I post things on LinkedIn, people find me, and they ask me, and I got contacted by Pepsi asking me if I know of anyone, myself, they said, that could actually teach how to do a business plan. I thought it was a joke, and I wrote back to them, and I said, do you know what I'm doing at Mercy? It's called the Studentpreneur Conference with the side order of the business plan competition. And yeah, I teach how to do business plans to my clients and to my schools all the time. And about a month ago on a Saturday, I went up there for their bottling division. And I spent all day Saturday teaching them how to put together a business plan. And before I left, they said to me, would you come back and teach our middle managers? And I said, would you sign a contract? And they said, you got yourself a deal. And I have one lawyer. See, to me, you don't need a lot of people in your life. You need people that you can count on. You know, one wife, one family, one lawyer, one school, Mercy. When I got the opportunity to be a visiting professor full-time here, my choice was to cut back my other involvement so I could devote more time to the students. And that's why on my spring break, I'm working on securing the contracts at the incubation center. Well, I have the contracts already. I just want to touch on a few things. I'm securing the panel. Oh, anyways, I have the, so yeah, the Creative Consulting Inc. And what I do is basically solve problems. And I just came up with a new logo. Creative Consulting Inc. Others give you answers. We provide you solutions.
So I do have a follow-up question for you.
Yes.
You were telling us not to quit. Why do you say that? Like, what if a job is just not fitted for you? What if the job is just not the right job?
Good question. The best way to get a job, Jasmine, is when you have a job. Don't quit without another job. That's what I should have said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't quit without a job. We're doing something called the Entrepreneur Speaker Series. I'm working with Kristen Ludl, and I want to get more involved with it because I think what we should have is the Executive Speaker Series and the Entrepreneur Speaker Series and have three of each for all three campuses.
You were saying you have a consulting company.
Yeah.
Can we hear a little more about that?
Sure. I never understood the consulting business because I'm a corporate person. Dad was an accountant and auntie had her own business and uncle was an engineer. And I don't know. I didn't quite understand the mentality of running your own business and what have you because I was too busy corporate and making other people money. I like to say that 7 of the 10 years I was at Time Inc. at People Magazine, I was the marketing director of People. We averaged 3,500 pages, advertising pages a year, $175 million a year. So if you do 175 million times 7, 3,500 times 7, I'm not nearly smart enough to figure out how the heck that company could have gone bankrupt and taken over with that money alone for finding out who wore what gown to the Oscars and what have you. So I got involved in the entrepreneurial bug a little bit, honestly, when I got here, when the prior dean asked me 2 questions. One, he asked me, could I teach ethics? And I said, sure, I've taught ethics before. He goes, no, can you teach ethics? He was making a joke of it because I'm such a marketing person. I said, ha, ha, ha. And then he said, what do you think about social entrepreneurship? And I said, yeah. I said, I just developed a course for that for a different school. And I explained what it was. So the first time I taught social entrepreneurship here, I changed it. I changed it into what it was. And I'm very, very proud to say that from that class, we actually launched a business. Julian Heaven and 3 of her dream team, Professor Cooper, Professor Camille, Dr. Gibson, Mercy Brass, we launched Mercy Operation Backpack. And what we ended up doing was finding, and we found a bunch of them, but we found the first school, first was in Washington Heights, and opening day, we showed up, the 4 students and myself, and we formed a company, a group called the Leadership Development Group, Mercy's Blessing, and we showed up the first day, and these were babies that were sharing pencils. They were so poor. These are young kids that were sharing pencils. They were so poor. Is that we showed up with bags filled with supplies, filled with coupons and food. And then we took care of the real teachers, but the real teachers, these high school teachers. And so we brought food and things for every water, for everybody. Well, they had to put a business plan together. They did the whole thing. They got approved. It went all the way up to Dr. Hall. And one of the things that at the very end I did was okay, now you're going to get into my deep end of the pool. I'm going to introduce you to something called sponsorships. And similar to what we're doing now with the CEO Club, it's created by students, run by students, for students. I introduced them, and we got the backpacks from Macy's, and we got McDonald's, we got Staples, and we got Office Max to give us sponsorship stuff, pencils, this and that. The bag was from us. We wanted Macy's, and Mercy said, no, we'll supply the knapsack. So then Macy's gave us coupons. So the bag had endorsements on it, you know, logos on it. But just, you know, you little, like little badges on it. Oh, my good Lord. I'm Italian. I cry very easily, Jasmine. Oh, my tears were coming down when I saw when the parents pick up the kids and they're there with the new bags and this and that. That's the special part of being an entrepreneur. It really is. COVID, unfortunately, happened right after that. So now we're back again with a different dream team. The CEO Club is fabulous. My company, I had a form because I basically spend time on LinkedIn and I see what people are looking for. And I didn't really have a company. I just had, my friend was at Madison Square Garden and then he said, can you help me? I said, yeah. And he would pay me. I would do a job for him. I have another friend who is at Chanel. She needed help to try to come up with a research study on who would be the best male Chanel. They all had, with only one exception, they had all females and they wanted to have a Chanel man. And they wanted a study on that. Burberry wanted to come up, what a crazy idea, to come up with the Burberry 5000, I think it was called. Wanted to come up with the Burberry code beginning part of this year. I recommend LinkedIn as the only social media site, period. So Burberry found me and said, do you have a company and everything? I said, yeah, but I'm not advertising my company. Everything's word of mouth. So basically, a lot of my friends or former companies, like I worked for ESPN for years, which I haven't gone over with you at all. I just think figure that takes too much time. I helped create ESPN, the magazine. So I keep contact with them. And I just tell them, if you need any help, let me know. And if you're a student, I won't charge you. But if you're not, I'll send you my contract. And I now have, I just added on Pepsi. So now I was on 13 for a bit, and I was on 14. So I guess I'm the most reluctant marketing consulting out there. Basically, I solve problems. This is what I do. So Pepsi says they're going to come in and they want me to test out a new glow-in-the-dark Pepsi and put the proposal together. And they select me. I'll have a meeting with them. And if they select me after the meeting, we talk about the money. And if they tell me $50,000 to do the study, I'll go back and I go through my Rolodex of all my contacts and I handpick people to work with. Let's just say you're one of those, Jasmine. So I'll say, Jasmine, can you do the study for $20,000? And you say yes. Okay. Then I'm going to go over to Casey and say, Casey, could you do the financials for $10,000? Yes. Well, $30,000. $10,000 I'm going to need myself to do the executive summary. This analysis is $40,000. And maybe another $10,000 in reserve. I realize, oh, no, I need somebody to do some packaging stuff. So I'm going to go to Ryan for that. That's it. That's the $50,000. And everything is in escrow until we need it. And if, God forbid, Ryan goes $10,001, that comes out of his pocket. But the understanding is, if a client approves and Ryan only does $8,000, then the $2,000 stays with him. So I have the people I work with my Creative Consulting Inc., all have little businesses also going. So I'll call up and I'll say, Jasmine, what do you have after XYZ account? And when you did the thing for there, you have anything left over for there? So how much money do you have altogether? Blah, blah, blah. All right. And I'll need that. And those are my financials to tell them what I need. So when people hear, my God, we had a political figure who gave me $250,000 in escrow. They wanted me to test out a scent. You know, it didn't go over very well. So I kept it in escrow. And I keep on saying, do you want the money back? They said, no, you're working with us. They're not even one part of the 14 because because I don't know if I'm working with them. I think I'm just watching their money. The interesting part about all this is that I had a business that was stolen from me because I have a big mouth. And you need non-disclosure agreements. And my idea was a company called Your Marketing Sucks. How do you like that title, Jasmine?
I like it. It's kind of like what the title's like, Marketing for Idiots. I don't know why I always love titles like that.
Very good. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So I spoke with my lawyer friend, and I said, there's so many consulting businesses out there. Would it be refreshing just to have somebody say, hey, Marketing Sucks by Robert Bond, something like that, whatever. And my lawyer friend, and I always say beforehand, you know you're going to have a good idea if Mr. Glass Esquire comes to you and says, Jasmine, we're going to send you a non-disclosure agreement. We want you to get Professor Bond to sign it immediately. And you'll say yes. He'll say, because Professor Bond has a big mouth. And then you'll laugh. And then he immediately goes to my defense. He's like a brother to me. And he said, no. He has a heart of gold. But he talks a lot. And he's going to be on the train. And he's going to say, hey, let me tell you about my student, Jasmine. She has this idea for glow-in-the-dark slippers, blah, 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 blah. And that man's going to screw you. And he has to like, so I always say, so you got to pray he has, and students will fly into my office on campus or whatever, and say, look, and he has a lot of non-disclosure agreements. So anyway, so I didn't have one of those. But yourmarketingsucks.com is celebrating their 10th anniversary right now. Tell me how pissed off I am about that. How ticked off I am about that. Total idea. I know exactly the people that do it. I spoke with them at a conference. It's my own fault and everything. So,
how would you recommend current undergrad students to expand their network?
Oh, absolutely. Good. Number one, it's absolutely key to expand it. So just in case there is any chance that you think you can or it comes in time, no. What you have to do is to rely on your current base. Like, for example, I have a contact sheet of 30 names. Used to be more, but I condensed it down from 50 to 30. And I used to post it with my stuff on Blackboard. And now I don't do it anymore. I want everyone that's listening to this to listen to this number, 8080. Okay? I've been teaching for over 25 years, right? 59, something like that. 25 years or so, yeah. 80 students have gotten jobs through our networks. And I'm not HR. I do this on my own time. I don't get paid for it. Some of my prior schools were angry that I was doing this, and I reminded them I wasn't there. I was there for my students. A quarter of them, at least 20, have come from Mercy. So the reason I brought that up is that every professor here should have an obligation to work with students about increasing the networking. Do we have the facility here? Not the wonderful people that teach you how to do resumes and everything else. Do we have somebody that replaced Julia Wexler, who was excellent at doing this? So you deal from the base right off the bat, and you see what you have now. You go on Indeed.com and SimplyHired.com. If you're looking and you see something in some places, oh, what a perfect, just say you want to go into travel, you want to go into fashion, whatever, and you find something there. Both sites don't cost you anything. But you say to me, yeah, but professor, the jobs there pay $100,000 plus. I'm not ready for $100,000 plus job. A, let them tell you that. But B is, how do you know that company doesn't have a $50,000 a year job? $75,000. To me, everything is a lead. Everything has potential. So I would go on to the sites that matter the most in your field or whatever. That's why I get so many emails. Not only are people pitching jobs to me, I have it out there. I'm very happy. I love being at Mercy. I love full time at Mercy. But if there's something at Columbia University, maybe I could do a consulting job for them. So I see, I get the name, and maybe I float something out just to see. No one's been rejected more than me because I try so much, but I have a lot of success for an old man from the Bronx. So I definitely would start with your base, use the sites, let them work for you. And definitely you should be talking to professor Rogers, talking to Professor Camille, talking to Professor Cooper, Professor Victoria. You're not going to find a better bunch and a more educated version.
I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, kiddo. You too.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure you tune into the other ones and have a good one, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show, Math Academics. You can email us at mathcast@mercy.edu. That is mavcast@mercy.edu. With suggestions of whom you would like to hear from and what questions you would like us to ask. Make sure to tune in to our Friday show, Mav Mailbag.
The Mercy MathCast is looking for corresponding hosts on our Dobbs Ferry and Bronx campuses.
To inquire, you can email us at mavcast@mercy.edu. That's mavcast@mercy.edu.
Hey, Mavs. Make sure to tune in to our shows every day of the week. We have Mav Life on Mondays. On Mav Life, we will be highlighting all campus activities, associations, and events. Mav Sports will be on Tuesday. We will be highlighting all of our athletes and sports on campus, including esports. Mav Spotlight will be our Wednesday show. In the Mav Spotlight, we are highlighting all of our alumni, getting to know them a little better, seeing how they achieve their success and what tips and advice they have for us. The Mav Academic Show will be on Thursdays. Get to know our faculty a little bit better. What makes our professors so interesting, intriguing? How did they get their positions? And on Fridays, the Mav Mailbag Show, in which we will be highlighting different services throughout the Mercy campuses. And we will be responding to feedback from all of our listeners. Our shows will be available across multiple platforms. The Omni Channel, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, GeoSavant, iHeart, Amazon Music. And soon to come on the Mercy website. Make sure to tune in.